Hi, Josh.
Yo, what's happening, Carla?
I'm drinking coffee and I made a sandwich last minute because YOLO.
I like a whole vibe right now. Yo, I'm running on absolutely zero fuel.
I don't know how you do that. I would not be able to, bro.
Now, I'm not gonna lie, one of my favorite things to do in the morning is fast. Like, I like to just not eat for like at least an hour. My body's used to it. I'm weird like that.
I like can't eat certain things because like me cae mal en el estómago, like my stomach just won't take it.
Yeah, so I'm the same way. I can't do cheese and eggs in the morning.
I'm here like with a cheese and ham sandwich just staring at you like.
So they eating ham?
Mm-hmm. Don't say eat until food.
I need ham?
Mm-hmm.
All right, but you straight then. You cool. So.
Wait. I don't want to choke on my bread.
Oh no! So he said that this is a podcast tradition. Carla always has to have food.
Welcome everybody to WTF Latinx, the podcast where I, Carla, and him, Joshua, talk about
me, Joshua,
you, Joshua. We talk about our Latin community. What it's like growing up in the community, what are certain things that like really emphasize to like growing up and like what makes a Latino? And that goes from things such as like our food, our superstitions, our culture, our beauty standards, our parties, our family standards.
Literally
like what's expected of you by being a Latino, and what are things that like I guess we never really noticed growing up until now we're able to like sit down. My water bottle's like popping. Until now that we're able to sit down as adults and really like analyze like, damn, that really is something that like a lot of Latinos go through, and we just kind of like went with the flow. We never realized what effect it may have on us. Or I love all of these little nuggets like of our culture that like a lot of people don't know about, and we do because we experience them. So welcome
to the podcast. Carla just gave me a look. She's like, boy, please.
No, you know what I realized that we didn't celebrate?
What didn't we celebrate?
Our podcast is like officially like over a year. We started this podcast last year around summertime.
So it's been a year. Yeah, it has been a year, huh?
I know. You owe me nothing because you have given me the best gifts of all. Oh, everybody, it's my birthday month. I'm a Leo.
It's your birthday.
If you haven't heard our horoscope episode, go in and like listen to like Latin artists that are in their horoscopes. I'm a Leo like Jennifer Lopez, and I'm Puerto Rican, so yes, I am Jennifer Lopez.
It's Carla from the Black.
Carla from the Black. We should totally do merch that says that.
Carla from the Black.
Yeah. Carla from La Esquina. Hey. Ana del Bloque. Ella es la sensación del bloque. You remember that? And literally, what is it today? I don't know. Today's Thursday. So Tuesday was my birthday.
It's your birthday. Nah, let me stop.
I am a whole year older.
Oof, wiser, smarter, stronger.
I know. I feel really good. I'm really happy. Thank you, Joshua, for all the blessings.
You got a little bit taller too. You getting taller?
Nah, that's just me changing my strut, you know, because like now I'm a confident babby.
Carla, I just want to congratulate Carla on her success this year.
I know it's been a strange year, and like I complained a lot,
it's been a roller coaster of a ride. But we here. It has,
and I feel like I'm such a different person than I was last year. I feel like I appreciate more of the things around me, and
that's a fact. Though
I'm trying to like focus less on the future. I was always like on the tomorrow. What? Who am I gonna be in 5 years? And I'm like, honestly, who gives a fuck?
Where am I gonna be tomorrow? You feel me?
Yeah, sometimes
we get so caught up in the future that we don't live in the present.
We stop living in the present. Yeah, and I was living like that a lot. So this year, just like my birthday felt different. I just feel more adult. I'm turning 23, and I have decided that this is where I stay.
People out there?
Yeah. I'm 23 now, so, like, I'm still a baby, but I'm an adult.
But he said, I'm still a baby, but I'm an adult. Let's go.
I have a baby face, so I think I, like, pass out of, like, 19.
Nah, you're good. You're good. You'll be, like, 20. You'll be, like, 28, and motherfuckers will still think, like, yo.
You're 22, right?
You 22? Carlos just gonna be like, yep, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I have the ill baby face, so I'm okay with that.
Baby face and a half.
Yeah, I'm just happy. Just like a little reminder for everyone who's listening. If you're listening in the morning, at night, if we're gonna sleep, I hope you've had or you're about to have an amazing day. Elevate your vibes. What you think you attract. Not only because of the law of attraction, but because once you focus on something, your brain will notice more opportunities for you. Just think about what you want. Visualize it.
Manifest.
Manifestation is such a huge thing. Yes.
Power manifestation. Like, we really have the ability to build whatever world we want around us.
Honestly. And the way that we think about things is the world around us. We can either think everything's horrible or think everything's great. It's always all up to you.
It's really all up to perspective, because, like, you can see a situation and you can just dwell on all the negative aspects of it.
Yo, life really is like a roller coaster. You're either crying the whole time or laughing the whole time, but there's no in between.
real shit.
But yeah. So for today's topic,
what are we gonna get into, Carla?
You wanna let the beautiful so. Today's topic is going to be salons versus barbershops, cultural havens.
Cultural havens?
I don't know. I like cultural hubs. Ooh, I like that better.
I feel like they are hubs, especially in our communities. It's like those are definitely places where people sit down and gather and, like,
and it means a lot more than just, it's not just getting ready. It's like bonding almost.
It's a whole experience though. Like, when you go to a barbershop.
And here we go.
Barbershop culture and salon culture are both extremely different.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, what happened? Okay. Wait, connection.
Yeah, you lagged for a little bit, but I heard most of what you said.
Did he really? All right,
yeah.
Bro. I just saw you freeze, and I'm like, all right, let me stop talking, because she's definitely not going to.
Yo, I was like, here we go, and you just kept talking. I was like, okay, I guess you didn't hear me.
I didn't hear you at all. I just saw you freeze. I saw you pause. Like, ah. But yeah, let's keep going. What was I saying? Yes, so both salons and barbershops are, like, what was I saying? They're both hubs for.
You're eating. Don't mind.
Yes, well, yes, they're both places where, like, men and women kind of, they're almost like sanctuaries in a way. Like, we go there to feel comfortable, we go there to have conversation, we go there to build on all sorts of topics. And
yeah, I feel like, ¿cómo digo? Like, we have, you go not to only feel good, but to have, like, really deep conversations that a lot of people appreciate. So it's just like, you'll have conversations with your barber that you do not have with your family, which I think is funny.
Yo, I don't know. I see that's the shit. I don't know what a salon's like, but when you go into a barbershop, literally, like, depending on the barbershop, it's going to be an experience. Like, low key, some shops, it feels like you're walking into a club. Like, yo.
Some barbershops are
huge. In serio, there's barbershops you walk in, boom, you got dude in the corner with the hookah. Boom, you got your barber with a cup, with the Red Solo cup. You already know there's not water in there. There's a little bit of Brugal. Boom, you got the dude in the back with the cooler full of beer sometimes. And you walk in sometimes, yo, dudes will ask, yo, you quiere una fría? Boom, you get a beer. You got the music blaring. You got the hookah rocking.
And you know what I was going to say, too, is that I feel like after quarantine, people really started appreciating more of their, like, cultural hubs, because you men, and I'm just, like, I'm generalize about men. Okay. That's a TikTok joke. You don't get it.
I definitely, not old man Josh over here.
Let's Jenna. Yeah, you're the older one. I'm the cool hip one.
Yeah, okay.
Y'all always talk about how long women take to get ready. And then quarantine shut down those barbershops. And suddenly all I saw on my social media was men complaining when the barbershop's gonna open.
Bro, because we started to look like grizzly bears. Yo, fam, come on.
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out how hypocritical. Y'all always like, you take so long, blah, blah, blah. No. What was it? I saw like a meme that was like, men, women use makeup to catfish. Men uses like a fake beard to catfish.
Nah, that's not the vibe, bro. I saw those videos with the dudes that have like the fake hairlines. They get the
fake hairlines, fake everything. And I'm like, y'all talk, but y'all do it too.
Listen.
It's cheaper for you.
Nah, girl, that's some of us, but that's not all of us, bro. I don't know what community that is. That is definitely not in the Latino community. At least I've never seen it within my own personal
community. Well, that's the point. They don't want you to know they're bald.
I've never been to the barbershop and homeboy next to me is getting a fade with a lace wig. That's not
how it works. You've seen the man wigs. They're different. They're supposed to be for like men to have the wave shape thingy.
No, you're sipping on my neck. I've never walked into a barbershop and I've never seen a barber gluing on fake hair to somebody's head.
Yet.
Stop
being ignorant. It already happens. It's just a matter of time until people stop like feeling guilty about it.
I'm joking with you. I've definitely had coworkers and friends at school that like one day dude would come in with a fro, the next day he'd come in with dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Like, all right, bro, hold up. You definitely had an afro like 2 days ago. I know goddamn well your ass did not grow all that hair overnight. So it's just like, it's one of those where I'm like, all right, you definitely got extensions. Like,
absolutely.
So slowly but slowly, like, things like that are starting to become normalized.
Yes. So I did find an article in NBC News from April of this year, actually. So throughout the quarantine that talked about barbershops and salons. No. So I'm going to go over that first, and then we can talk about experiences.
Break that down.
Barbershops and beauty salons are not... Oh, wait, let me get credit where credit is due. This is written by Patrice Gaines. Barbershops and beauty salons aren't just small businesses in communities. They are metaphorical street corners or town plazas. Customers visit both to get their hair styled or cut, but they're also, it's a therapeutic experience. They chat with the stylists behind the chair about what's going on in their lives. They hear about other regular customers, and they even catch up on the little gossip. What is this popping?
If that is not accurate, bro, I feel like salons are like the gossip hub. It's like
you have to be with like a hairstylist for a bit to like get all the gossip.
No, claro, poco a poco, pero sometimes the whole place will erupt in gossip, depending on which one
you go though. I'll explain it when we describe it, because I've gone to different types of salons and there's a little bit of everything. So many of these shops across the country were closed during COVID-19, and that led to shutting off the valve of the hearts of many in the communities. And like, I don't know what you meant by that, but
I think she's trying to say like for a lot of women and men, like barbershops and salons, that's like, it's almost like ritualistic. It's something that they do every weekend. Every Friday you go to the barbershop, every Friday you might go and get your hair done. And I feel like when you're used to that and you don't have it anymore, like part of you is kind of taken away in a sense. You're not a big salon girl?
No.
Yeah.
I don't have the hundreds of dollars that it would take.
Oh, well, growing up, my mother, every Saturday, she used to go to this random ass salon in some lady's basement. every Saturday. Yo, meet at Sinfajo, bro. Sinfajo. I was dragged to those salon, to that salon every single Saturday. And I was forced to listen to these women complain about their husbands.
Bruh. Joshua, let me finish. Okay. So then we have a quote about a salon is truly a meeting place. People come and get balanced. They hear about news, politics, and gossip. And this was by Bruce Johnson, the owner of Aperture Salon in Maryland. They talk about everything. When my mother died and my son came home from school looking like something not presentable, Brute cut his hair and got him together. What would be terrible is if we lost our outlets that help maintain our sanity, which I think is really interesting that he used those specific words. For decades, barbershops and beauty salons have become safe havens where cultural conversations take place, and there's an age-old adage. What is said at the barbershop stays at the barbershop, and stylists with the clippers and the blow dryers. They can be trusted with sensitive material or health secrets. For many people, in particular, barbershops are safe spaces to discuss critical issues that impact their lives, such as racial profiling, the shootings of unarmed Black men, the racial discrimination in the workplace, and President Donald Trump's perceived racial insensitivity. Some barbershops and salons remained closed in the past tense because they are not deemed essential business.
Man, that's just essential to my mental health.
Wow. There are 9 of us, said Jones, a computer technician at the Washington Post. At the end of the day, after everyone's gotten a haircut, somebody might get a six-pack, a bottle of liquor or wine, and we'll sit and kick back and talk trash. I love that. Okay, but that's the end of the article.
So what do you feel about the article? Like, do you feel like they're absolutely correct, or are they missing points?
I feel like it depends on the location. So this is what I meant by, what do I mean? Like, when it comes to salons, there's you can find either somewhere where you're really comfortable or somewhere where you're not comfortable. And, like, this is, like, as a woman with, like, ridiculous, like, beauty standards that continue to get more and more complicated as the years go. You either walk in somewhere and they're like, girl, you need to do your eyebrows, your mustache, your ears, your hair, wax your fucking arms, and you walk in and they like tear you apart from top to bottom. And besides tearing you up and telling you everything that's wrong with you, then they charge you like $300 to $500 as a woman. Then you have those little nooks that you go when you don't have money. That's like the Dominican lady or like the Latina lady. That has a room in the back, that has a room in the basement. They have all their essentials because they've been doing this for years. They have the best products, and that's where you go and you're like, girl, you don't know what happened to me this week. And those, I feel like it does feel different because beyond using their service, they become friends because you go to their houses and you know who their kids are and you know who their dogs are. And you get to know them to a level that, like, sometimes you don't get to know them at a salon, if that makes sense.
No, I feel like a salon is probably, like, an actual, like, salon where it's more professional.
Yeah.
I feel like that setting differs tremendously to something that's more, you know, like a hole in the wall. Because when you are going to somebody's house, that's their personal space, but you're also getting your hair done. And, like, obviously, over time, you built that comfort, especially when you're inside of somebody's home.
Yeah.
I feel like...
That's why I said that it's, like, two different experiences, because either it makes you feel really, really good or it makes you really feel really, really bad. So, for those that don't know me, I have super curly hair, and I have a lot of volume. So Growing up, I had like, I don't want to correlate like an afro because my curls aren't that tight, but I just have huge puffy puddle hair, like poodle hair. Like in high school, my nickname was poodle because I just had a puff in my head, just like a fucking cotton ball. And it was always frizzy, always sweaty, it was hot. I just have really curly hair. So figuring out who was going to do my hair and how much it was going to cost was one of the most frustrating things in the world. And this is where, Josh.
I'm listening.
And this is where, like, those
I don't want to interrupt you. Because I feel like every time you tell a story, I have to tell a story. And I'm not trying to ruin your good-ass story.
Gotcha. So I've always had really curly, puffy hair. And this is where, like, the beauty industry comes in and, like, what they're selling me at the salon. They're not selling me just that experience as a customer of feeling bougie or feeling clean or feeling whitewashed.
Ooh.
So you walk in the door, they're like, you're so pretty, but your hair, honey. So when I was 15, this was one of, like, the first experiences. My hair was literally felt out of control. I lived in the Caribbean. Everything was humid. Everything was hot. And my cousin, my aunt sneaked me into a salon and she paid for my treatment. And so what they
What kind of treatment? What did you talk about?
Keratin treatment. So I was 15 and I got a hair relaxer.
Okay.
And everyone was like, oh my gosh, you look so beautiful with, like, your hair straight. Like, you look so freaking beautiful. Blah blah blah, and I was like, "Wow, this is the bougie life. Oh my god!" And then, like, years later, that really fucked up my hair, and I had to, like, regrow my curls and all this stuff. So question, I just have a different perspective than the most people, like, the beauty and salon industry.
Question: so this from, like, just strictly from a cultural aspect, right? You feel like the straightening of your hair was, like, diluting you and your culture a little bit? Like,
yeah.
Now, as a grown woman now, do you regret getting that treatment done as a kid?
And no.
Do you miss your natural hair, or do you not really, did it not matter that much?
No, I have my natural hair now. It took me years, like, all of my college years to, like, grow it back, but, like, I have it back. Do I regret it? No, because uno siempre quiere lo que no tiene hasta que lo pierde, right? So what? I wanted straight hair because I really thought that it was going to be beautiful with straight hair. And then I got it. And then I realized that it wasn't as great as people tell you that it should be. But they have to make sales. So they're going to tell you whatever they have to do to put those chemicals in your hair.
Of course. They're going to lie to you. They're going to edify these products.
Yeah.
They're going to sell you this dream. Like, yo, no, this is how you got to look. Yo, if your hair is straight, girl, you're going to get all the dudes. Everybody going to be calling you. You're going to be like, you're popping now. But, yo, with this straight hair.
And, like, so that's where the toxicity for women comes in, because Dominican salons are known to be, like, maybe number one or number two in the world for straightening hair. Like,
oh no, definitely. That's,
they know what to do, what oil to put in your hair. They freaking do magic. And it just really shows throughout the years how we have idolized being Caucasian for so long and wanting to look like that, wanting that pale skin and, like, straight hair look, that we have completely, like, just found ways to, like, not look like ourselves, to be beautiful. So I just wanted to point that out because I think it's really important. Like, I've never, like, I go to the salon and I feel cute, but do I have to look like someone else so I can feel beautiful?
That's the question. And realistically, like, you don't, but everybody in that salon has been brainwash and is there.
Yeah, they go to school for this shit, and they go to school for 2 years and have all these certificates, and they are told this is what your clients are gonna want, blah blah blah. It's a whole industry.
It is, though. It is. And I feel like they're gonna cater to the majority, and the majority isn't gonna want to wear their hair natural and have that curly hair, you know, as curly as possible, as shiny as possible, as vibrant as possible. It's going to be like, yo, but Kylie Jenner, you see how straight her hair look on that book cover? Girl, and I'm going to give you the highlights at the tips and que se yo que. And it's like, but I can't even begin to like relate to how.
Josh is like, can't relate.
Cause literally, like, I can sport my hair in a fro, I'm cooling. I can sport my hair short, nice, crispy, I'm cooling.
Like, I feel like that's we've always had a disconnect when we have these conversations, because you really, you've never been sat down in a chair and been like, wow, like, look how your hair is, and just being shamed for it.
Nah, that's the thing. Like I've always, I have really curly hair. So when I pull up to the barbershop and my hair is looking good, it's curly, it's chilling, and it's long, the barber's like, oh, yo, you just want to say cedillo, right? Because your hair's already looking good.
Damn, I'm so jealous. But anyways.
I don't know. It's always real comforting. Like, no matter what haircut. Oh, yo, my shit's low. Yo, you want a little fade? I'm going to touch you up. Smooth. Boom.
And
like,
you pay $20 for that.
Maybe 35 with like a tip.
I'm here like 130.
It's crazy because the minute I walk in, I feel good. Like, I don't feel like I'm being judged. Like, maybe if I look a little scruffy, I get the little joke like, yo, manito, pero tú estás homeless.
Lol. Yeah, you look crazy when your hair grows.
Yo, when the beard comes out too?
Listen. But yeah,
my bad. I cut you off.
No, but that's what it's like. It's just like different where you get it. And then if you go to the basement, it's like Juanita's tía who's like, girl, you got graduation tomorrow. Like, what's up? I'll fix you up. You'll be all set. You're going to walk in flopping your hair. And just, dude, you got to do what you got to do.
Thank you, muchacha.
But that's another reason why I don't like salons.
You know what's crazy, though? Like, what? Just random, because I've been to salons. It's crazy how the salon lady will tell you that you look bad, but with so much charisma.
Yeah.
It's like, you think
they're good salespeople. You gotta give them that.
Shorty's about to compliment the shit at you, pero muchacha. And then you get the, pero este pelo tuyo está feo.
Yo.
And I love to see those facial expressions go from the, oh, she about to compliment me, to like, oh. Ajá, no, tú sabes que yo tengo mucho que no vengo. Ay, pero tú estás horrible.
Eso fue pa donde la otra que tú te fuiste, ¿verdad que sí? Yo, and they be jealous of their customers. Oh my gosh, they do not like to share. They do not like to share.
Yo, you froze up there for a little bit, so I don't
know. I said, dicen, te fuiste pa donde la otra, ¿verdad que sí?
Yo,
did a horrible job.
Dude, that's the same way with barbers, though. Like, yo, if you have a consistent barber, and let's say he's not around that week, you might as well just take the L. Because if you go to another barber, he's going to know immediately. Oh, pero this nigga cheating on me? Look, they ain't even get your lineup.
They're more committed than an actual relationship.
Because, see, bro, it's just serious, bro. I've seen people, like lose friends over, like, going to a different barber.
That shit,
like, yo, my man, I cut your hair every week. Like, you my client. Yo, and then I've seen dudes fight at the shop. Dude will be there waiting for one barber, and the other barber's like, yo, I can cut you up. The other barber always interjects, like, nah, bro, that's my client. You got homeboy right there. Yo, I got you next. Like, it's territorial. Yo, you don't touch my hair. You don't let anybody else touch my hair.
That's fucking crazy. You know what's another thing that I was just thinking of? The wait time.
The wait time at a salon is absurd.
I've gone to salons where I made an appointment at 2. And like at 2:05, they already had me in the chair, cool, chilling, to like get my hair done.
You know you're not leaving there until at least 6.
I've gone to salons that I came in at 11 in the morning. And I left at 6 p.m. I am not joking.
No,
I sat there for over 5 hours. Mind you, around 1 was lunchtime. So I came in around 11, and then like 12:30 lunch, like when I came at 11, I'm like, cool, I had an appointment for 11. And then she left for lunch. And then she came back and she said, like, she had an appointment. Someone else had, like, a wedding or some shit. So she's like, let me do her first. Bro, she stayed all day with that one client. And then I went right after.
Mierda, bro. But damn, that's OD. Do you even get the proper service after that?
Yeah, like, they gave me food.
Shorty already,
they're like, we know you've been waiting. You want food? Tu quieres esto?
Carla's like, you damn right. Yeah, let me get that. Una maita india.
And then, cuando por fin me ponga la silla, she was trying to set me up with her nephew. She's like, yo, you single? I know my nephew, he a good boy. He go to church. Yeah, this was like, what, 2015?
Yeah, yeah, I can't see.
Like,
Carla, the look.
Get me out of here.
Yeah, but nah, that's not it, bro.
Yo, they be playing bad, like matchmakers.
How do you tell the salon lady that you're not trying to fuck with her nephew without hurting her?
I don't even know. And she pulled out her phone. She's like, this is him. This is how he looks.
Yo, question. Was he busted or was he cute?
He was a church boy. I don't know.
Carla's like, that boy was busted.
I was 18 and he was 18. So it's like, we both look like little kids.
Okay, all right. Yeah, yeah, both had like the little goofy
little baby faces and shit. Baby faces. I was like, oh yeah, he looks like a classmate of mine in high school. Like,
yeah, I think I know him. But can you do my hair though?
Yeah, I was like, I've been here for the past 4 hours. Can you just start? Cause like, I want to leave.
Word.
So like, question. Doing your hair is just like out of this world, honestly. Mhm.
Wow. So yeah, that's just crazy.
I know. Going to salons, it's such a freaking different experience. Going to a person, going to a bougie salon, like it's all like, you walk in and you really don't know what you're getting yourself into.
No, I'm hip. I spent way too much time in there as a little boy.
Yeah. The thing is,
now my question for you is, have you ever been to a barbershop?
I have. It makes me uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, you gotta tell me why though. Like, why do barbershops make you uncomfortable?
Yo, I went with a friend because we were just like, this is back in the day when we didn't have cars.
Mm-hmm.
So we would walk all around town, and he was like, "Yo, let me do a quick stop here," and then like we're taking the bus, and we lived like in similar street, so we take the bus together. And I was like, I don't want to take the bus by myself. So I came in and like I sat down, and he was getting like something in his hair. And there was this three big dudes. La bachata, full swing, fucking loud as heck. It was like 7 p.m. It wasn't even that late. And I just like took my little corner and I sat down, and the barber's looking at me.
Bro, you just trying to mind your own business, bro.
I was like, no. The barber looks like he's 30. I'm still like 19. That's another thing, bro. I'm 19.
Oh no.
There's 14 in that number.
Let me tell you something. Some barbers are the most disrespectful humans in the world. They don't give a fuck.
I know. And they're always surrounded by guys. So you talk differently when you're talking to each other than when you talk to a girl. So you guys be doing like rough comments and stuff like that. Shit, my alarm.
Now the thing is, that's how it is though. When you're in that environment, you have all that energy, all that testosterone. You feel like you're the man, especially when you cutting hair. So when you see that one girl that kind of catches your eye, like that's a target. Motherfuckers zero in and.
Oh, that's exactly how they acted. Like it was a target. I was like,
you were targeting.
I'm the only one there because there's no girls there. Like, why would there be girls there?
Exactly, it's a barbershop for the dudes every single time.
Yeah, so they just have. There was three barbers at the time. Listen, there was three barbers at the time. They have the bachata in full swing. They have a TV in the background that has the game playing. I don't know what game, but there has to be a game playing where every 5 minutes they're like, bro, do you see what he did? And I was like, I don't know
I don't know what you're talking about.
They were super tight about that game. I don't even remember what it was, but they were not happy.
It's always a baseball game or a basketball game.
Yeah, I think it was basketball. They were mad tight about the game, and I was like, yo, when are we leaving? And so I'm fortunate enough that my friend was like, no, like, don't fuck with her. like she's my friend, like don't be doing any of the weird shit. Approached me directly. Yeah.
But he definitely made like
No, he was looking at me for like an hour and a half. We just kind of left. And he was like, oh, my barber is interesting if you want them. I was like, no, I'm good. And he's like, okay, yeah. I told him not to freak you out. And I was like, well, thank you. But like, that's me with like a male friend who knows how, like, he's my interpreter. He has to translate to me why people act that way. Because I wouldn't understand.
Bro, it's a barbershop, bro.
Yeah, it's a whole different world. Like, I don't understand it. It's
old, real, you know how Dominican men are. We're really machista. We're real like, yeah. That's a shorty. Oh, that's I see. Awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
like that? I
gotta plant my flag and conquer.
Like that? Oh, yeah. I see.
Stop talking. You bugging. Oh, shit, hold up. Hello? You still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Damn. So that is that your first and only experience at a barbershop?
Yeah. I never went back.
Yeah, and I feel like you don't want to go back after having.
No, I'm good.
Yo, high key, that's always gonna be the energy that you get in there.
It's also scary because you know they have like 4 baby moms and they're looking for a 5th one. Oh, so like,
here, bro, dudes do not care. Yo, if you a cutie with a nice face in a big waist, in a tight waist, it's a wrap. Like, you're a target in there. Don't walk in there, yo, especially if it's a Dominican barbershop, because most of them dudes are going to be disrespectful.
Take notes. Stay away from barbershops.
Depending what barbershop you go to, you definitely going to have somebody that's off the sauce. So the filter is gone. There's no filter. You won't get...
You know what I was thinking is like there's always that girl that's at barbershops.
But usually
there's always a girl that she's like the homies. Like she walks in like she owns the place and everyone's that's like Fulanita.
No, Fulanita is usually dating one of the barbers and she's there checking up on his ass, making sure he's not cheating again.
That's true. I remember I have a friend that she
leaves, todo el mundazo de que yo, pero la mujer tuya te tiene mira. Como un prisionero. And then he be complaining too. Because, bro, you have no idea. It's a lie. Yo, I cheated one time, bro. Now she's showing up to the shop randomly.
I cheated that one time. I love it. And then they say Dominicans aren't the loyalist, but like, whatever.
Bro, it's like that, bro. It's like that. I think my favorite barbershop moment that I ever had, right? Dudes inside cutting a client. And en salta uno, dice, yo, fulaneto. Yo, el carro tuyo, white Honda, right? Uh-huh. Yo, pero hay una chamaca ahí. Yo.
Why is a barbershop a fucking novela? Wait.
Because it's like that.
I want to know what's the next episode. What does she do to the car?
Shorty's apparently there chilling, scraping her key across this man's car. This man tells Amira, yo, pero I think she got some keys in her hand. He's like, huh? Hold up. He don't even look at the client. He just dropped the clippers. Se mandó. All you hear is more than diablo.
Oh my God.
Everybody, we all stand up like, yo, what's happening though? We all looking out the window like, ooh, yo, she giving it to this boy. Ooh, better than, ooh, right hook, left hook. Ooh, right hook, left hook. Ooh, damn, he got hit with the purse. Oh. We just, yo, as soon as this man come in, everybody quiet. The motherfucker start laughing. Like, you got your ass beat.
But you know what it is? She probably went to the salon and the lady was like,
you're like,
a ver que yo vi tu marido at the mall, but he was with another woman.
Así que comienza, bro.
Yeah, they be putting like all these thoughts in their heads and they get out and they go ready to attack.
The thing is, right, I feel like with salons, all the women that like to take care of themselves, all the beautiful girls are all interconnected somehow. So you get that one shorty trying to show off her man. And then you get the one technician that's like, oh, pero...
You mean the fulanito who's cousin with this person? Oh, yeah.
Oh, but wait, he's dating my sister? And then that's how you get the crazy chisme, the crazy traque.
That's fucking crazy. I had a friend, I was going to say, because I had a friend that she used to, at one point, she used to get her eyebrows done at a barbershop because it was next to her house. Word. Like, it was like... walking, it was like walking distance, and like The mall's like, what, 30 minutes, 25 to 30 minutes away?
Not even worth it, bro.
Yeah, so she's like, yo, he does it with a little knife, and he made, like, her eyebrows super sharp. So she started going whenever she would have, like, hairs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then she stopped going because he had, like, a crazy-ass baby mom that would, like, show up. And whenever she would show up, I was getting her eyebrows done. And so he had hit on...
Uh-huh.
Actually, like, I'm gonna bleep that.
Yo, I was about to say, you just said her name. I'm like, yo,
I'll bleep that. He hit on her. And the baby moms walked in a little bit later. And she was like, yo, no, sí, es mi marido, tú sabes. And she was like, oh, no, yeah, good to know. Never came back. She was like, I'm not getting involved in that shit.
Bro,
hell no.
You already know that was going to become an issue. That was going to become one of those reoccurring things where shorty keep pulling up. Like, oh, hola, ¿cómo está?
Oh. But she didn't even mean no harm. She was just there to get her eyebrows down. And these
ignorant people.
Yeah, who are in relationships, not being loyal.
Bro, the thing is, everybody doing dirt, bro. So, you know that man's been cheating on his wife. And she knows, but she can't prove it. So he's making her feel crazy for something that he's
until around. She finds evidence, and then everything's
gonna
go down.
Low key, she probably already knows he's cheating. She doesn't know with who though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the tracker, bro. You know, I feel like there's so much more, but like that's really the gist of like salons and fucking barbershops.
Yeah, we can do a part two later.
We definitely gotta do a part two because I feel like for me, barbershops have always been like a safe space, cooling.
I feel I am conflicted.
I've never really had a bad experience at a barbershop, but granted, I've been with the same two barbers for like the last 25 years. So
the thing is, like, the difference between that is true. You happen in the same place, so it's like a whole second home to you.
It never changes.
About beauty salons is like it's built on the like root of, and I'm gonna have to look for the history of this, but it's built on the truth of like anti-blackness when in the 40s when like women were told to like look more like their bosses.
Uh-huh.
So they would have to like clean cut, like, oh, your, what is it, your hair means that you're like not on, like your unruly hair means that you're not groomed to work.
That's bugged out. That's really bugged out.
So there's just, it's always like you get the rolos and you get the, like, you have a, what is it? The biggest thing that I was told growing up always was, you know, beauty is pain. If you want to be beautiful, you have to be there under the heat. Wow. You have to cut it. You have to cry. You have to cry to be beautiful. You have to suffer. Going to the salon was, like, a synonym of suffering. Getting my hair done is, like, no, I don't want to because it's just, like, brushing this.
Oh, it's painful.
So it's just built on that, and then people do the best they can with what they have, so they try to make the environment fun and safe and healthy, but it's hard to do that when, like, it's based on, like, you have to be, like, you have to create a different identity.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. That's kind of
bugged
up. Yeah. I wanted to ask you something. Damn, I just lost the thought. Do you guys have like unwritten rules?
Yeah. Yes, but I can't think of them.
All right, we'll leave that for the part two then, because I can definitely think of a bunch of unwritten barbershop rules.
Sounds interesting.
Which is just random stuff that like maybe you walk into a barbershop, you're probably not even cognizant of it, but this is like
you
little.
You have to do it so you don't look bad.
Yeah, low key.
Okay.
Wow.
But yeah, thank you for listening to today's episode. Feel free to follow us at WTF Latinx Iggies on Instagram, Twitter, and if you have any topic ideas or any feedback, also feel free to email us at WTFLatinx@gmail.com. I hope you guys enjoyed, and I hope you have an amazing and beautiful and wonderful day.
Peace, everybody. Take care.